The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We are Americans.
This is the Bob France Authority on AM 1420. The answer.
Yes, indeed it is. Good morning once again. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock on a Thursday, and we are ready to roll on AM 1420, The Answer. It's the 16th morning of the ninth month of the year of our Lord 2021. Apologies, I can't bring another congressman live to the airways for 2 hours today. That was yesterday. Probably not something we can do on a fairly regular basis at all. So today you're stuck with just me. I will do my best to bring as much information and analysis as I possibly can while listening to yours. Coming up on the program today in about a half an hour, we're going to talk to Will Witt. You know, I talked about this earlier this week, that I gave a little talk at an event on Sunday, and I was asked to give the four biggest issues that I think face that we have facing our country right now, and that we should focus on as conservatives, rather than, you know, spreading all of our efforts out over 20 issues, which there are. You know, it kind of underserves all of them. But if we put all of our efforts into a few of the core issues, perhaps we can get some things done and then address the other ones. So anyway, I was asked, what are those top four? One of them, excuse me, was educational indoctrination, because what's going on in our schools. That was one of the four that I chose. The four, in case you were wondering, in no particular order, were illegal immigration, educational indoctrination, election integrity, and the First Amendment. Because we cannot even possibly organize against the other three if we aren't free to speak without being censored, silenced, suppressed, etc. And we are doing all of that. Jim Jordan pointed out yesterday on the program, when he was in with us for 2 hours, that was the reference I made a few moments ago, pointed out that literally every one of the protections, there are five protections that are offered or not offered, that are guaranteed us in the First Amendment to the Constitution, and all five of them have been restricted in some capacity or another over the course of the last year and a half. We can't fight the other things unless we can speak freely. Anyway, I bring that up because of the educational indoctrination one. And at 9:35, we're going to talk to Will Witt. See, our young people in the younger generations, and right now the ones in school are the Gen Zers, our young people who are conservative-minded, which means basically they're free thinkers. They are not subject to groupthink. They are not told you must think this way and speak this way or be canceled. Well, actually, they're told that, but they don't listen. Those who find themselves subject to groupthink basically let the group decide for them what their opinion is, and then they, in order to avoid being intimidated or bullied or canceled or whatever, they go right along with it and they speak it. You know, the phrase, speak truth to power, they don't. They speak falsehoods to weakness rather than truth to power. And that's what they do. So at any rate, we're going to be talking to Will Witt, because Will Witt is a guy who talks to young people about how to take on the left, talks to young free thinkers who are not subject to groupthink on, and tells them how to combat what they're fighting every day. He's got a book out called How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies, taking on liberal arguments with logic and humor. So it's perfect for younger Americans. So you're going to want to hear that. Then at 10:10, we're scheduled to have Dr. Piper on for his regular Thursday visit, but there may be a schedule conflict there. I will have confirmation of that one way or the other within the hour. Then at 10:35, did you know, this is a big deal as it pertains to Biden's vax mandate. Did you know that Biden and the White House consulted with the labor unions before making his decision on what he was going to mandate, which of course ended up being the private businesses in America with over 100 employees have to make sure all of their employees are vaccinated, or else those businesses face fines. And, of course, those workers face losing their jobs if they're not. Joe Biden didn't just come up with this himself. Just as the CDC takes its marching orders from the NEA, which is the National Education Association, and the AFT, the American Federation of Teachers, Joe Biden consulted with the unions before announcing the vaccine mandate. And the unions are split. And that complicates things. Well, Mark Mix is the president of the National Right to Work Committee. And he is furious, as are many others, that unions have decided the fate of the jobs of non-union workers by way of this vaccine mandate. So we're going to talk to him about that, about the union's role in establishing public policy as it pertains to this unconstitutional vaccine mandate. So those are the guests today. We're going to talk to Will Witt, hopefully Dr. Everett Piper, and to Mark Mix, president of the National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation. So all of that is coming up on the program. I welcome your phone calls before, between, and after those at 216-901-0945. 888-281-1110. By the way, be as excited and forceful on the phone calls every day as you were yesterday. There was not a line free for more than a half a breath with Congressman Jordan taking your calls with me yesterday. Seems like literally as soon as we hung up on one call, another one filled it within a half a breath. So I loved it. I thought you were great. I thought you asked a lot of fantastic questions of the congressman. And let's keep that energy up, because we have to each and every day right here on AM 1420 The Answer. Now, before we get to the top story of the day, top stories, plural, of the day, let's pause for our Pledge of Allegiance. So, friends, patriots, please stand and face your flag if you have one. If you do not, that's okay, but put your hand over your heart and join us. Leftists, Biden voters, Taliban supporters, we know where you sit, so just remain seated. We understand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Want to tell you the tale of two states. I could actually include several other states in this comparison, but I'm just going to go with the most recent state to file a lawsuit against Joe Biden and the federal government for what they are calling complete hypocrisy in vaccine mandates. It's the state of Arizona, and the attorney general there is Mark Brnovich, and he has pushed back and filed a state lawsuit against Joe Biden's vaccine mandates. He yesterday described his case and broke down his case by calling this an unconstitutional power grab by the White House. He is, of course, spot on. Let me read what he said. I don't think we can have any sort of serious discussion on COVID that doesn't begin with talking about what's going on at our border. I think it, remember, Arizona's a border state. I think it demonstrates the hypocrisy of the Biden administration, where they're completely ignoring that problem, which we know has a great effect on us. And then literally what they've done is they've said, if you're a non-citizen, you have the option as to whether or not to take the vaccine. But if you're a citizen, you're going to be required to take the vaccine. And so that clearly violates the Equal Protection Clause. But secondly, said Mark Brnovich, Attorney General in Arizona, I think it's really important to emphasize that if you read our lawsuit, we also make the case that the president himself just does not have any power anywhere in the Constitution, especially when you consider the Ninth and Tenth Amendments to mandate anybody anywhere should get a vaccine. So from Jump Street, our position is that this is an unconstitutional exercise of police powers the president doesn't have. And furthermore, even if he could, he's doing it in such a way that's completely contrary to the Constitution, where he gives people that are here illegally a pass, an option whether to take it, but then he's forcing U.S. citizens to get the vaccine. I think this shows the complete hypocrisy and contradictions within the Biden administration. Now, what do I mean by a comparison of states? Let's compare that to the state of, oh, I don't know, Ohio. Where's our governor? Where's our attorney general? Where's the lawsuit against the Biden administration defending Ohio workers and Ohio businesses who are threatened by this unconstitutional mandate? Threatened with the closure of businesses or the fining of businesses into non-existence? Threatening employees who have legitimate claims and reasons why they're not getting vaccinated? Perhaps the biggest one being, been there, done that, had COVID, recovered, have antibodies, am inoculated, leave me the hell alone. That's a pretty good argument. That's a pretty good argument, says, I don't know, science. Not some talk show host. Science says that. I'm not making that up, and we've given you the science on that. There are some 15, 16 studies, randomized controlled studies, proving, not speculating, proving that natural immunity is stronger than synthetic manufactured immunity that they can put in one of those little cocktails. So what is the state of Ohio doing? Why isn't the state of Ohio leaping forward to try to smack down the federal government on this? Why are they sitting there and listening to people like Jen Psaki, the voice of Joe Biden, the mouthpiece as the press secretary for Joe Biden, who said, did you hear this yesterday? Let me do this. How can we prove that Biden's vaccine mandate is not about health care or public health, but is about politics and control? And the answer is, listen to this 58-second exchange between Peter Ducey, White House reporter, and Jen Psaki, presidential mouthpiece. Listen, please.
And then why is it that you're trying to require anybody with a job or anybody who goes to school to get the COVID-19 vaccine, but you are not requiring that of migrants that continue walking across the southern border into the country?
Well, look, our objective is to get as many people vaccinated across the country as humanly possible. And so the president's announcement yesterday was an effort to empower businesses, to give businesses the tools to protect their workforces.
An effort to empower, I'm sorry to interrupt this, an effort to empower businesses? No. His announcement was a threat to businesses that you will be fined and or closed down if you don't do what we tell you to do with your employees. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt that. Listen.
That's exactly what we did. But certainly we want everybody to get vaccinated, and more people are vaccinated, whether they are migrants or whether they are workers, protects more people in the United States.
But it's a requirement for people at a business with more than 100 people. It is not a requirement for migrants at the southern border. Why?
That's correct. Go ahead.
Did you hear that? His follow-up was, but it's a requirement for people who work for an employer with 100 or more employees. It's not a requirement for migrants who come across our border illegally. Why? He said. Her response was, that's correct, and moved on. Didn't answer the why. Didn't answer it at all. Just stood there and condescendingly acknowledged and admitted what Peter Ducey said is the truth. If you're a citizen working a job at an American employer, it is your your requirement to take that vaccine. If you are an illegal alien who broke our laws and crossed our border without permission, and you are in the United States, you are not required to take the same vaccine. Now, if the goal is protection of public health, why wouldn't everybody, legal citizen and illegal alien, be required to take that vaccine before they can go out and mill about in the American public? Why wouldn't everybody be required to do it? That's what Peter Ducey asked. And her response was, That's correct.
To get vaccinated, and more people are vaccinated, whether they are migrants or whether they are workers, protects more people in the United States.
But it's a requirement for people at a business with more than 100 people. It is not a requirement for migrants at the southern border. Why?
That's correct. Go ahead.
Have you ever heard anything as repugnant and dismissive and condescending as in, yes, you just nailed us, I'm not going to answer it. Next. She got nailed. She got completely owned. Why aren't migrants required to get the same vaccine that American citizens who work are? And the answer is, it's not about health. It's about politics. And it's about control. Period. We now have evidence of it. So what is the state of Ohio doing in response to it? We'll talk more about that right after this on AM 1420, The Answer.
Download the free WHK mobile app and listen to your favorite WHK programs or podcasts on the go. It's free in your app store.
Okay, 923, AM 1420, The Answer. I started doing a state comparison here. Arizona filing a lawsuit very aggressively against the Biden administration for the unconstitutional vaccine mandate. Here in Ohio, what is our attorney general doing? What is our governor doing? What is our Republican majority, which means they're supposed to stand for freedom? What is our Republican majority doing in the state house? Now, you know as well as I do, we've had Jennifer Gross on, the sponsor of House Bill 248, many times in the last several months. House Bill 248 essentially is the anti-discrimination bill. Regarding COVID vaccine mandates and masking mandates, basically saying it outlaws discrimination and bullying against people who choose not to wear masks and who choose not to force their kids to wear masks and who choose not to get vaccinated. So it's essentially a law that protects people and their right to make their own medical choices. Now, this has been languishing in committee for a while now. It hasn't been brought to a House floor vote. So that we can advance this, it ought to be able to. We have a supermajority in the House and the Senate of the Ohio General Assembly, right? It ought to be able to get to a House vote very easily, and it ought to pass very easily, and it ought to pass probably with a supermajority, a veto-proof majority. Because it is very likely that Mike DeWine will indeed veto it. So House Bill 240 has been languishing. So finally, Representative Nino Vitale, I believe he was the spearhead of this, said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to push a discharge petition through. A discharge petition would, if it gets enough signatures by enough members of the Ohio House, force a vote on the floor on Ohio House Bill 248. So strong move, important move, necessary move. And what happens with our wonderful Ohio Republican leadership in the State House? What happens with Speaker Cup? They sent out a letter to all members by way of a caucus recommendation and said, don't sign the discharge petition. And even some of the co-sponsors of House Bill 248, which looked to and tried to and wants to and would protect Ohioans' rights against the government, they're going along with it. Nino Vitale wrote this on his Facebook page, and I want to read it. After hours at 6:40 p.m. last night, an email went out to all Republican members of the House telling them do not listen to the will of your district and work on legislation to stop the COVID mandates. Do not sign the discharge petition. Do not act on the wishes of the people calling and emailing your office who do not wish to be forced vaccinated. We will decide what should be done about mandatory vaccines and will tell you what to do in the coming weeks. The Republican leadership has actually told Republican members, by way of a caucus recommendation email, don't sign the discharge petition. Wow, writes Nino Vitale, what bullies. I will post the letter for you to read below. While you don't see the language that I spelled out above in the letter verbatim, you will see what was not explicitly stated was clearly inferred. This letter is a bully tactic to get members to not act and not protect your freedom. This is a tactic to delay substantive action and hope the people of Ohio will stop calling and will just go away because they really don't want to act against Big Pharma or the party and truly protect your medical freedom. This letter is proof that your calls are effective and they don't like the pressure you're putting on them. If they did really want to protect your freedom, why did they not do something in May, June, July, or August when all this was going on? Or how about for the past 18 months? No, they were too busy on summer vacation or having fundraisers to worry about protecting the citizens. Note, the letter is not signed nor penned from anyone other than, quote, House Majority Leadership. Now, do we know who the House Majority Leaders are? You're darn right we do. It starts with Speaker Cupp. That's a little aside, but let's continue. My suggestion, writes Nino Vitale, is for you to keep calling 614-466-4308. Tell them we don't buy your delay tactics. Letters like this serve to imply buy time and threaten members. I'm sorry, serve to simply buy time and threaten members, all while people in Ohio are days away from being fired because they don't want the mandated vaccine. Your Ohio government should be acting now, not sending out letters like this to intimidate members into not signing on and moving forward and finding an immediate solution. Many of us are facing the imminent threat of losing our jobs, our paychecks, inability to pay our bills and feed our families. And these bullies in government want to punt the ball down the road, hoping that we, the people, will go away. Have none of it. Keep calling 614-466-4308. Tell them no more delays, no more bullying, no more letters telling us they might do something in the future. Get HB 248 out in the open. Let's discuss it, debate it, and vote on it in public. Sign the discharge petition on House Bill 248. What an absolutely horrid move to bully representatives and tell them to stop listening to their district and follow the party lead. Wow. Read the letter for yourself below. Now, I'm not going to read the letter to you because I think Nino Vitale did a terrific job of describing exactly what it says. And the reality of the situation is that we are being abandoned by the Ohio Republican Party again. I cannot say those words with enough disgust in my mouth. With enough disgust in my voice for you to understand. We vote Republican because we expect Republicans to vote constitutionally, to make constitutional decisions, and to listen to the people. Quite literally, we expect them to know that their job title, representative, means they represent us. And as such, they should listen to us and do what we sent them to Columbus to do. But the Ohio Republican Party is so deeply infested with vermin that they refuse to do what they were sent to Columbus to do. They redraw the districts to make sure that they keep control, and most of us keep silent about it. Because you know what? It's better than having the Democrats in charge. Well, what's the difference? The Democrats would also not vote to protect medical freedom. What's the difference between an Ohio Republican or a Democrat? What's the difference if they're all going to have the same outcome? We're not going to stop the forced vaccine. We're not going to stop the forced masking of your children. We're going to be Democrats. Bob Cupp? House Speaker, how dare you? Speaker Pro Tem, Timothy Ginter, how dare you? Majority Leader Bill Seitz, how dare you? Assistant Majority Leader Rick Carfagna, how dare you? Majority Whip Don Jones, Assistant Whip Cindy Abrams. That is Ohio Republican leadership. Ohio House leadership. They're the ones who signed the letter saying, to hell with 248, and to hell with you wanting your constitutional right to make your own medical decisions. We're in charge. Sit down and go away. How dare you? This is the kind of thing that makes me say, and I've said it before, I'm a conservative, and I'm proud to say it, but I am not a Republican. It makes me sick to say it. I'll be right back.
Two sides to every story. There's the mainstream media side, And then there's the truth. You are experiencing the truth. The Bob France Authority on AM 1420. The Answer.
Yeah, well, somebody's got to bring the truth, no matter how many feelings it may hurt. An Ohio Republican Party supermajority in the General Assembly. I don't care if you're angry, and I don't care if you refuse to do another interview on this program. Do your jobs and represent the people, or get the hell out of Columbus. For God's sake, the people have spoken. The people are your bosses. You represent them. And you're going to stand by, and you're going to allow this mandate to take away their liberty, and you're going to stop a bill that would protect their medical liberty? Get out. I'm done. We'll get back to that. Let's talk about kids. So I'm reaching young people. Let's talk about the two younger generations, the millennials and the Gen Zers, who have been so extraordinarily influenced by pop culture and by the American left, and they're terrified of going against anything that the American left has to say. They're going to be canceled. They're going to be bullies. They're going to be bullied. They're going to be outcasts. They're going to be intimidated. How do they fight back if they have a conservative point of view and a conservative mindset and they don't want to get canceled? Well, that's what this book was written for. How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies, Taking on Liberal Arguments with Logic and Humor. This isn't specifically just for young conservatives, but Will Witt, as a political commentator and a media personality, you've probably seen some of his videos on Prager University, which remains the greatest thing on the internet, and he does have a great connection with younger conservative people. He joins us now on AM 1420, The Answer. Will, good morning. How are you?
I'm great.
What was the genesis of the book? Is it what I kind of led into here? Was it just that young people in particular, but conservatives in general who don't know how to fight back against the liberal onslaught of ideology because they're afraid of getting canceled and they're afraid of being being cast out?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And again, this book isn't for just young people, but as me as a 25-year-old, I wrote it as I essentially want people to take my job away from me. I want them to be able to go and do the things that I do when I go out on the street or debating people and use the right questions and tactics. I want them to be able to do that too, because I can't change everyone's minds. People at Prager, you can't change everyone's minds. It's about normal people, average Americans, being able to have good conversations, to have chain reactions, to actually wake people up to the truth.
So you are a millennial then, right? Officially. Yes?
You know, I'm on the,
or are you
last
on the Gen
year,
Z
I
could side.
Be Gen Z, could be millennial.
Okay. How did you then, because again, this is the point here, how did you come by your conservative principles? How did you how did your ideology get formed?
Yeah, you know, I was never a conservative. I was actually a liberal atheist my entire life. And most kids go to school, their parents taught them to be conservative, they go to university and become liberal. I actually went to university and became a conservative. It turns out that all of the common sense values my mom taught me growing up, personal responsibility, not feeling entitled, taking accountability for my actions, those things actually happened to be conservative. And the other students on campus didn't have those same values. And so when you're going to campus and you're realizing in a sociology class that all of the things that you hold dear are actually conservative, but they tell you you're evil, it's a big wake-up moment. And I also ended up dating a girl in 2016 who was a Hillary Clinton supporter. And that just really put me over the edge. So
how long did that relationship last?
You know, it actually lasted longer than you would think. So I can gladly say we're no longer together. But at the time, it was fun to get into some of those arguments.
Well, you know, there you go. That's an interesting way to phrase it. It was fun to get into some of those arguments. Maybe so with somebody in which you're in a relationship with, but not with people you don't know. Those arguments can be a little bit less than fun. So you wrote a book on how to have those arguments, how to take on the left with logic and humor and without fistfights. So tell us a little bit about that.
Look, I think every single person, like I get asked in my videos, they say, you know, how do you not laugh when you go and talk to these people? Like, how do you not just laugh at how stupid they are? And I'm like, a lot of these people on campus or on the streets of L.A., they're not that stupid. But when you have the universities, the mainstream media, Hollywood, everything dominated by the left, of course people are going to grow up to be leftists. they need someone to come and tell them the truth and what is actually going on. And so this book essentially gives you the tools to say, hey, here's the facts on an issue, let's say racism in America, and here are the persuasion tactics and actual questions that I can use to lead someone into a different state of mind. And so, you know, a lot of conservative books just give kind of a, hey, here's some problems going on in America. Mine gives people practical solutions and actually things that they can use to actually change people's minds.
Will, we're talking to Will Witt. He is the author of How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies, Taking on Liberal Arguments with Logic and Humor. And Will is a something of a sidewalk journalist, amongst other titles. He goes about campuses and big cities and asks questions and tries to understand the liberal mind. Usually when we see videos like yours and others who do what you do, it's always, the question and then the answer, and it's, some funny music sometimes, and then it's laughter at the end when people realize, perhaps that they didn't understand things the way they thought they did. We don't see any of the things that get angry and nasty. Do you encounter that, Will, when you're talking to liberals on campuses and they realize they're talking to a conservative, and perhaps you ask them a question that you attributed to Donald Trump and it turned out to be from Joe Biden? Do they get nasty and angry with you, and we don't see that part?
You know, there's sometimes that it happens. My latest video that actually just came out, where I was asking people if they could, if they knew what PragerU was, and then asking them for an example of why they didn't like it. This one guy got very flustered because he said he hated PragerU. He said PragerU is full of crap top to bottom. And I kept asking him for one example. Tell me one example of misinformation. And he couldn't give me one example of why it was misinformation, but he would stand there and tell me he hated it nonetheless. And so, yeah, sometimes people do get angry. But again, you know, my pinnacle principle with making these videos, I know there are other people do this, and this is maybe more what they do, but for me, I always wanted to change people's minds, whether that's who I'm talking to or the person who's watching. And if I get angry or let these people get very angry and upset, no one's really going to have a mind-changing moment. You're kind of just making red meat conservative content at that point. So that's never what I really wanted to do.
Is the goal of taking on liberal arguments, which is, you know, a central thesis of the book, is it to change their minds or just to, you know, essentially say you've got to hear my side too?
Well, I think it's changed minds. I mean, I believe that I stand for truth. A lot of the conservative values that I have, I believe are the truth. You know, I've seen these ideas in practice. Just look at a state like California versus a state like Texas, and you're going to see pretty clearly that conservative values are better for society than liberal ones. And so I do believe that we need to change people's minds. Listen, you're not going to be successful in changing everyone's mind. Maybe they'll be have different sort of opinions than you, but they can at least be taught to be, you know, more receptive to different ideas. But yeah, I'm of the mindset that, you know, if conservatives want to win, we have to wake up people from the indoctrination that they've been having for years and years.
Well, there you go. I'm glad you brought that up, Will. We're talking to Will Witt. His book is How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies, Taking on Liberal Arguments with Logic and Humor. You know, it's funny, you go on college campuses and you know, I'm glad to hear you say you're changing some minds there, but that's a tough sell because they're already kind of entrenched in it. How do we reach the younger minds than that? Because our public schools at the high school, the middle school, and hell, even the, you know, the elementary level, the primary level, the indoctrination is deep now. It's starting early and it is very, very, aggressive. Isn't it almost too late sometimes, to get them in the college level to be able to express these things?
I think it's never too late. I think that there is a point where you can come back and be able to change their minds again. Like I said, I was a liberal atheist my entire life, and not just, you know, an atheist and liberal. I was anti-politics and anti-God. You know, I would go around and tell people that. So you can definitely, yeah, I don't think it's ever too late. But I think the main problem is a lack of role models. I think that parents have done, not all parents, but many parents have done a bad job in raising their children and giving them a trophy for every little thing and not been hard enough on them and not told them that, not actually instilled the values on them that they want and left it up to the public schools, which are essentially just indoctrination camps. And so I think that one of the main problems is that we need to have parents be more involved in the morals that we are teaching our young children. You can't just send them to school every day and say, oh, here you go, I'm going to let you learn and I'm not really going to get too involved in it because the school knows everything. It's like you need to be 100% in your children's lives, teaching them the good values that you want them to take on.
Well, you know, that is such an important point, especially considering the, you know, one of the biggest tools of the left and I'm talking about the far left that is pushing for a socialist Marxist nation, is to break up the family. You know, we everybody knows about the language in the Black Lives Matter credo or mission statement, you know, is to disrupt the nuclear family. They know that children raised by two loving parents in their household, a mother and a father who care and who are involved in their lives, is the way to keep, you know, capitalism and keep this wonderful great republic going. If they want to tear it down and build it back up as, you know, in their own Marxist vision, they got to remove those kids from their parents' influence. They got to let the, you know, the village, if you will, raise them. And that means the public schools and the far left, which are dominated by the far left teachers unions.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I have a whole chapter on family values in the book on how to change people's minds to say that, hey, actually, people being together is going to be better for society in the long run. In America right now, we're seeing increasing divorce rates. We're seeing increasing child suicide. We're seeing people not buy houses nearly as early as they used to. I mean, there's a lot of problems when it comes to Western family values. And it's really, in my opinion, the deterioration of society in the West. Because when you don't have families pushing these values and teaching their kids good values, and the next generation is just as screwed. Because it doesn't matter what, you know, conservative radio shows do, or if, even if we have a conservative president, none of that matters if the next generation is just completely lost because of bad values when it comes to the family.
Well, Will, you know, I'm glad to hear you say what you said at the beginning. You know, you're kind of in that gray area between being a millennial or a Gen Zer, but your book is indeed geared toward young people like yourself, but I need parents to read it. I think that's a key part of this. Parents need to read this so they know what their kids are facing and so that they can try to push back on some of what the left is doing. You need to teach the parents how to help teach their kids how to handle these things without being influenced and overtaken and intimidated and pushed into, you know, into leftist thinking.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I mean, even going on social media, I mean, I still see lots of parents who are arguing in the comments on my videos, PragerU, other conservative people. So I think that, you know, even older people, like, my book will be perfect for them to learn how to do the same. So I think it, and if you're a parent, I think that going back to school, this is a great gift for your kid, being able to be prepared in their classes, in their high school classes, university, whatever it is. They can just flip to a chapter. Maybe their class is talking about climate change that day. They can skip to the chapter on climate change, read all about it, and be ready to take on the professors or other brainwashed students.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, Will, I think it's a great point you make. It could be a great gift, but it should be more than just a gift. It ought to be almost required reading if you want to raise your kids and give them an opportunity to fight back and an opportunity to hold on to the family values perhaps that you have raised them with, without letting them get indoctrinated either in you know, the high school level or at the college level. Will Witt is the author. The book is How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies, Taking on Liberal Arguments with Logic and Humor. And I, of course, encourage everybody to watch your videos. I've said every time I host Dennis's show, and even when I don't, I point out that I really believe PragerU is the best thing on the internet. I mean that very seriously because it's intelligent enough to capture, adults' attention and to educate them on things they don't know. But with all of the animation, it's fun and easy to view, and it perhaps grabs younger people as well. It's just a great way, 5 minutes at a time, short bites, or in your sidewalk interview segments, you know, just very short and easily consumable bites of information. It's really, I think, the most impactful thing on the internet, and I think you do a great job of that, Will.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate that a lot. That means the world to me.
Well, good luck with the book, and we really appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.
How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies by Will Witt. Strongly encourage you to pick that up and read it yourself before giving it to your kids, maybe as a gift. I think we could all benefit from that. We'll be right back. You know, I really meant what I said before, and I posted it too. The Republican Party in Ohio is the biggest waste of a supermajority in the history of government. The history of government. They refuse to step up and do what needs to be done to protect the first of all, to adhere to the wishes of their constituents, but also to protect the medical freedom of their constituents, which is part of their oath of office, protect the people. Rick and Lorraine, you're on AM 1420 The Answer. Thanks for waiting. Rick, go right ahead, sir.
Hi. I think most Democrats and about half the Republicans are more terrified of the virus than they are passionate about our freedom and our Constitution. So I don't see vaccine mandates going away because most people think they're a good idea. That's why Gavin Newsom survived his recall. Most people like government mandates and lockdowns.
Yeah, that's part of why he survived his recall. The other part is just that, you know, he's a Democrat and it's California. And if you don't have about a billion or several billion dollars worth of movies in your career that people loved, like Arnold Schwarzenegger did, you're just not going to win as a Republican in a recall effort or anything else. But your point is right. A lot of people do. A lot of people have bought the fear. They bought the propaganda. They have bought the lies about COVID and about what it does and about what the vaccine does and how effective it is. They've bought it. You're right about that. But that's the point here is that we elected supposedly conservative Republicans to not buy into that fear and to listen to the constituents and listen to the people. And guess what? The vast majority of Republicans in the state of Ohio want vaccine choice. Many of them are taking it. Many of them believe in the vaccine. I'm in. Okay, fine. But they don't believe it should be mandated. I know many. You probably do too, Rick. I know many Republicans who have taken the vaccine and said, you know what, I feel like I have comorbidities or I'm in the age range or I'm this or I'm that or the other, but no way in hell should it be mandated upon everybody else. And our leadership in Columbus just won't listen.
So that gives me some hope about people's character.
Yeah, well, me too. It does. And I tell those people, by the way, I salute them and I shake their hand and say, God bless. I hope it works out well for you. And thank you for not pushing it on me as well. That's the way it's supposed to be in a free country. Thank you, Rick, for the call. I appreciate that. Let's go to Menor. Chuck, you're on AM 1420 The Answer next. Go ahead, Chuck.
Hey, Bob. I don't know what it's going to do. I just wanted to tell you, first of all, thanks for everything that you're doing out there and getting the truth out. And the other thing I wanted to say is one of the good things is, about the indoctrination thing that the schools are doing is that parents have the tools in their hands to teach our kids conservative values and about the Constitution at home. When my kids were small, we would do coloring pages of the Founding Fathers. We would go over basic rights of the Constitution. And the other thing we'd do is also read someone like Rush Limbaugh's books. And, so the parents can be really active in this. I mean, my kids, once a week, I tell them, I ask them, what's the Constitution? They tell me it explains your rights as given to you by God. Nobody can take them away. I drum that in their heads. And if they can understand that, they can move further with other and advance our knowledge of the Constitution and other conservative principles. And not just conservative principles, but principles about liberty.
Well, two things. One, you're spot on, and you're right. That's exactly what parents should do. There are a lot of great resources out there. Make no mistake about that, including, you mentioned Rush's books and, the Tuttle Twins. I don't know if the Tuttle Twins, they write tremendous children's books and kind of cater to the younger generation. But the flip side of that, or the other part of that is, teaching the kids the right way, but then giving them the courage to stand up to it when they get attacked once they get into school, because they're going to. They're going to get attacked by
Absolutely.
Teachers. They're not just other students who have been raised to be anti-American, anti-racist, which means racist toward white people, blah blah blah. They've
right.
been raised a different way, but also by their teachers. They're going to be challenged, and how can you say that? And you read this, you do this assignment, you don't tell your mom and dad. Because that's what's going on right now, and the question is, can what the parents teach them hold? Can it stick through the tough times? That's the key.
And I totally agree with you there, and I'll tell you real quick. Mm-hmm. I have twins. They are seniors this year. Last year, they both were in the same AP government class. One of them, and they're both academic juggernauts, are smarter than I ever was. I don't tell them
that.
One of them... And they're both, they were raised by us, and they have our values and everything. But in class, they took two different tracks. One of them would listen to the teacher and basically take notes and, use his Trump derangement syndrome against him and basically, spew everything he wanted, got an A in the class. My other child would go toe-to-toe. And you know, debate and dig in and fight. And we get notes from him like, hey, you know, your student's doing great. She really, present her arguments and all this. And they both ended up doing incredibly well in class, taking two different tracks.
Two different tracks.
Well, I would, yeah, I mean, I would prefer that both of them did, like my daughter, but, you know, it is possible. And it worked. So
well, that's a great story, and you know what? Good for you. And it, by the way, I love the fact that you don't tell your kids they're smarter than you ever were. They have to believe, and I mean that's they have to believe the stuff they're being taught from mom and dad is being taught from people who know their stuff and know what they're doing. I've always told my kids from their very, very youngest ages, I said, listen, your father knows everything. He'll share some of it with you. That's the way I do it. Because I want them to think I know everything, but if there are things I don't know, it's because I choose not to share all of which I know. So that's a very important point. Thank you, my friend. Great phone call, Chuck. 10 o'clock, news time now, Piper next, AM 1420 The Answer.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.